Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, Pierre.
Thank you.
Needs no last name. Pierre is, you work out of the Open Source Technology Center, and we had you on the show, let's say 2 years ago? One and a half or so. And you gave us a great update on, you know, the what was going on in the world of PHP at that point in time. And now you're back, and you're going to talk about a couple different things that are going on in the PHP space.
Yeah, a lot of going on yet.
There's lots going on. So I'm really excited to have you here, and I'm going to let you take it away.
Thank you.
Excellent.
And by the way, he is looking for an i1, so if you have one left, you can buy one for him. The poor guy. So today we'll talk about basically, I think most of you have heard about PHP 7, HHVM, and I will talk also about other solutions to speed up your PHP and what it means to speed up PHP. And well, I will go through that, but you can contact me if you have any question or contact Corey. So basically, before I go down to PHP 7 and so on, the statistic is always asked, but here you can ask on the comments and so answer on the comments. But basically, is we see way too much people still using PHP 5.3 or even PHP 5.4 and so on. And that's a pretty bad thing, and because it's mainly you put your websites or application in danger from a security issues and so on. And so basically, the first thing is, if you don't know, PHP 5.3 is dead since quite some time. Yeah. And PHP 5.4 is already in security fixes only. That means we don't fix bugs anymore. Like, you have a feature not working well, we do a bug report, we will simply tell you, update to 5.5. If you find a security flaw and it's critical, like remotely exploitable and so on, we will fix it. And 5.4 will be also dead or not supported anymore by May or June.
Yeah, so that's when it goes into end of life, which is a year cycle until it's completely deprecated.
Yeah, because now, since the RFC process for the release process, we made a 3 years life cycle. We introduced that last time when we talked about 5.3. We can maybe put the link at the end. Yep. And basically, it's every new PHP, major PHP release, like 5.3, 5.4, 5.5, 5.6 now, has a 3 years life cycle. The first 2 years are about bug fixing. Mm-hmm. And the last year is only about security fixes.
Yeah.
And now 5.4 is already 3 years old. So that means you had 3 years to update if you did not do yet. And it's fully compatible and like 50% faster than what we have in 5.3. So just do it. And so it will be the end of life by May or June.
Yeah.
So you have the possibility anyway to update to 5.5, which has the upcache, which is a performance very interesting.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we also have 5.6, and we have now 5.6.6 because we also do a lot more releases. Like every 2 weeks, we do a release for bug fixing and so on.
Yeah, and so the funny thing about PHP 5.3 deprecation and 5.4 going to end of life is I saw a tweet recently from a conference organizer in the UK that basically apologized to everyone, saying, "I'm sorry if you get a lot of requests today to upgrade versions of PHP." But I thought it was pretty funny because no, it is true. Like you have to continuously go and upgrade the runtime because there are so many great advancements that happen between each version in terms of code optimization.
Memory usage goes down.
Memory usage in 5.4, they introduced a large amount of security or like concepts to make your code much more secure with password generators and things along those lines.
Mm-hmm. In 5.5 was that?
That was 5.5, that's right. So that's, that's enough reason alone to keep your version of PHP moving along with your application.
And many people were afraid to update before 5.3 or in 5.2 or 5.1 and so on. And because there are some incompatibilities from one version to another. And now we are very, very strict about that. That means we don't break BC. Even for the next major version, we will talk about that later, PHP 7, is we are very strict to do not break existing codes.
Yeah.
So basically, except if you do really bad things, it should work smoothly.
Yeah, there's some edge cases where that might not work, because there has been some functions that have been deprecated.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're just pointing, like they're still in the language, but they're pointing to the new implementation.
Or is it a new one, or you simply have a warning
Yes.
We are discussing now for PHP 7, even for the deprecated features, what we will actually remove or not. And again, the decision process is not about what we like to do, but more about what we don't want to break in the wild. Yeah. And it's so there are some edge cases, we already remove them. Mm-hmm. And but most of the time we try to be straight and make the upgrade path as smooth as possible.
Yeah.
So short, long story short, go update. What after this show? And one cool thing before I go down is I would like to talk about is, especially if you are on Windows or on Linux or other platforms, it's always kind of pain to install extension. You don't know where to fetch them and so on and so on to get the binaries. And we started with the Hoa framework project. Take a look at it, by the way, very cool thing. We implemented a totally new installer, not using the Perl installer, which is kind of, in my humble opinion, a kind of dead code now, right now. So it is based on the principle from Composer. Mm-hmm. If you know Composer, it's a simple way to install your dependencies for a project and so on. So if you have an extension dependency for your project and you call Composer will simply call Pickle and install everything. So, and I will just show a little demo on Windows. So I have my PHP version. Hopla. As you see, I'm a good boy. I'm already on 5.6.6. So I do what I say, or I try to at least. Yeah. So, and now I will see, let's say I will install the WinCache extension, which is a wonderful extension developed by Eric Benson from the IIS and website team. Mm-hmm. It does some cool I/O caching and so on, very, very useful. So I just do we have a network? Yes. Just do install. As you can see, yep, install it directly, fetch a download. And now we check out if I have my extension. As you can see here, my extension is already enabled. And if I go on a good old, here you can see extension has been enabled automatically. So you don't have to do anything. And if you like to install an extension, another extension, it's one I will talk about later, QB. Mm-hmm. And just the same, you install it. It detects the version where you are. If the PHP set is correctly defined, it will see where it has to copy it, download the DLL you have to get, and so on. And what we are working on now is as well to extend it to support HHVM as well. HHVM has some kind of support for extension.
Yep.
And we are working on getting it to install PHP extension on websites. So you don't have to go edit your PHP ini and do all the manual work you want to do. And it's a pluggable, so we can extend for other engines as well.
So this is really cool to see it running from the command line and things along those lines. Yeah. If I was like very similar to Composer, can I drop in, say, a pickle.json file into my project, keep that with the source code, so if I was to do continuous deployment?
But you do simply like, the idea now is that every extension will have a Composer JSON, which we name now pickle to Composer,
yep,
just to be more compatible.
Yep.
It's the exact same format, using JSON and so on.
So Composer, like you said, Composer just calls into Pickle, and then everything's derived from the same.
But if you create your Composer JSON for a project and you say, oh, I need a dependency on PHP QB, mm-hmm, optional or not, or you need, I don't know, some other image magic or zip or whatever else, you just define PHP X as a dep, mm-hmm, as dependency. Composer will see it, oh, it's a PHP extension, it will call Pickle, and Pickle will fetch it depending on which version you use, which PHP version or which implementation, if it will be HHVM or other. Mm-hmm. HHVM is a work in progress, so it's not available now. Mm-hmm. But if you use stock PHP, it will just fetch it. And we are working on as well to get that working with distribution on Linux as well. So if you're on Azure or or locally to test, you can also, it will call the RPM or apt-get to install what you need to install.
Cool.
So just one command, and it will be transparent most of the time, because you don't have, except if you are starting a project from scratch and you want to install your extension, you can call Pickle yourself. But for everything else, you just call Composer to initialize your project, and that's it.
Great.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And okay, so, and now, the cool thing in PHP world is we always do things differently, for the good of everyone. So the next PHP version is after 5, 5 plus 1 is 7.
So that's for incredibly large sums of 1, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
It's incredibly large sums of individuals.
Excellent.
To that, I have to say cheers.
I think it's really great because there was a lot of debate in the PHP core team and beyond that, like even the full community.
A lot of
people were figuring things out and what should we do in terms of renaming or moving forward with the version number.
It was kind of painful because we have a voting process for the IFC and actually this IFC to decide which freaking number we will use for the next version was the one with the most votes we ever had. Until a couple of weeks ago, which was the Scala type 18, which has more. But before that, it was like, I don't know, it was 80 something voters. And I was like, guys, is this really the priority? But yeah,
it's a huge priority.
Yes, I mean, hey, oh, come on.
Well, it really depends on where you're from. I mean, here in North America, 7 is a lucky number.
Okay. I live in Asia now, so it's all the numbers. So basically the next version will be 7. So the roadmap is we have a totally new engine. Made it. Internal joke, don't worry. So, and basically it's Dimitri and Laurence, Joe and so other contributors worked a lot, and our team for OSTC helped to fix bugs and make the performance and testing on other platform and so on. It makes the thing damn fast. Low memory footprint, really fast. You have an IST tree. We won't go to detail of IST tree because we run out of time. And one thing, we finally have actual 264-bit support on all platforms. That's something my team, like Anatole, Steve, and Matt worked on. It means you have 64-bit integers cross-platform, even on Windows, because before, until now, you have only 32-bit.
Well, that was the big news last time you were on the show, is you were deep in development of getting everything into true 64 support. So it's really good to see that everything's coming along. And
we tried to make it that for the 5 series, but the changes were too big and we didn't find a compromise with other contributors and so on. And we said, okay, we can do that in the next major version. We give actually a start or a kick to do it. It was quite a debate about that, but we made it. It also means it brings to the next topic, you can finally have large string and large file support, that means more than 2 gig. Doesn't mean you have to load a full Blu-ray in memory, but well, you can.
You can, and that's the best part.
But basically, it means you can work with large offsets, so doing a stream and seek in the file data and working, like especially if you work on large image files, videos, and so on and so on. And you have a consistent variable syntax. I won't go into details, but we all met. Even I do PHP since almost too many years. I don't even know how old I am, and it's quite a pain sometimes. So we try to unify that. And you have the classic, like if you call a method and doesn't exist, your script die.
Yeah.
So we walk around that now. So if you have dynamic objects and so on, it's more easier to catch. We have a new syntax sugar, and many other features like the scalar type hinting. Which is actually a real hedge discussion. So we don't know if we go a strict mod or weak mod or mix of both or dual mod without changing by default what we have now.
Yep.
So, and we really, really need the community to be involved to know what you guys want to do.
All of these are in RFC right now.
Yeah, and we have heavy discussions between two camps. One is saying, we don't change anything to the current mod, it has to work like it does now, so people can migrate their code without changing anything, and we can enable at the top of a pair file, like pair PHP file, say this file and only this file will be in strict mod. It means you can use, you say my function will take an integer, so everything else will fail. But it's only for this file, and people calling from outside the file they won't see it. Yeah. They don't, the other files won't save to say to change their code to be strict or non-strict. It's only for the one you're using. So it's very handy and backward compatible. And the other solution was to say we change the casting, how a cast is done. Like if you pass pass, for example, 42 as a string and you, the function takes an integer, it will be converted. And the question now is, we try to unify how the casting are done. That means changing how it was done.
Yeah.
And the problem here is, I'm not saying it's bad or good, but the problem is hard to it's very hard to test.
Yes.
Because we have no idea what the people do. And you cannot test such features using every single application in the world with every single data that they are fed with, and so on. So it's a kind of a, that's where we are in the discussion. But basically, my point of view, we have to focus on the design point of view and the needs of our users. That's why, hey, if you have an opinion on that, go ahead on the discussion.
What we'll do is we'll get a, we'll get links off to both proposed RFCs
and internal mailing lists.
And,
and don't be afraid if there's too much traffic or heavy discussion, just post and run away. But yeah, it's we need the feedback from all your communities for that.
And I mean, it is the opportune time to go and do a breaking change, because you are jumping into a brand new version, like a major version number.
Yeah, breaking change is a kind of a, because breaking things is like, I don't know if you know Python, for example. They did that for Python 2 to 3, and you can see the
there's a lot. Yes, I've actually experienced a couple things in Python that have been breaking changes. And
so our idea, or in general, this time for everyone, is to break as little as we have to.
Yeah.
So people can just upgrade and enjoy the new features or the speed of PHP 7 and make some mods or some options to actually use new features and so on. But breaking things like removing features totally and so on, it's a kind of a blocker. And the first goal we had back then when we talked about the RFC process was to actually speed up the adoption of new releases.
Yeah.
Because now it's way too slow, like 3 to 4 years until someone takes a new version, even if there is no compatibility break. So we have to, and we're slowly getting there. So.
I was at a conference recently. 5.3 was already end of life and was getting really close to being completely deprecated. And the presenter, it was actually Remus. Was up at the front going, so who's still running 5.2?
And a lot of people.
And like a third of the room put their hands up, and he's kind of like, you shouldn't be here. You should be back home.
Exactly. And I had the same issue. Every talk I give at conferences, I ask the same question. So 5.3 is getting down, a bit down, like 30% for what I ask. But then it's also something else that what you have actually in the wild, in the market, like many hosters with WordPress and so on. Still use 5.3 and even 5.2. And we now, WordPress made a huge step in the recommendation. They made, we recommend to use 5.4, 5.5 and up, even if they are still compatible with older version. I hope it will help to move the Schmilblick for the one knowing the French joke for that. Anyway, so this is the most important thing. So basically what we did before, if you call a function, like you try to call a function on a non-object, before you get a fatal error and your script dies. And now you have what we call a recoverable error, so you can just catch it and do a correct way, a bailout, or do an alternative way and so on, which is very, very handy. Especially if you have like dynamic object like this one, and you know it's not, it's a dynamic path and it changes the way it is. This is a way, little syntax sugar, but it is something we should have done since long. Basically, if you see here, you have to think to stop by in a couple of seconds to know what it does. But basically now with this operator is, if it's not set, just assign a default value. That's it. And it's concatenable, so you can use
that's
many places.
That's extra sugar.
That's
sugar with a cherry on top.
Indeed, if you can have like 10 of them. I'm not sure it's more readable, but it's still very nice nice way to have it. That's basically what we could do if you chain it. So there was a good, very, very good thing, and that's an effort started by a Facebook HHVM team. Thank you very much, Sarah, for that. Hi, by the way. A little dedicated for her.
I'll have to send her a link to the show so she can actually watch it.
Oh, she will. So basically what it means is PHP finally has specification for the language. It's an open process, so that means you can try, and the idea is to match what the current implementation does. So every new feature will be added in the specification. That will help a lot. It is used now by HHVM to actually implement HHVM in a way that is fully compatible with PHP. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, if we change things in PHP, it has to match the specification. Or yeah. we have to update it and say, from 7 and plus, this and this won't be possible anymore, and so on. So that means an open specification means more competition.
Yes.
And we see that now between HHVM and you have one in Haskell, a implementation in Haskell from PHP, you have someone doing in Java, you have another one, it's, I don't remember the name, you have a couple of them, mm-hmm. Phalanger for the .NET one, which is more or less used, but is still a good one. So basically, we increase the competition. More competition means we have to be more organized and focused on what the user want from the PHP. The core part, the PHP.NET implementation. Mm-hmm. And hey, that means more clones. So most of this implementation, except the Phalanger, which focus on the .NET integration, so you can use all, all .NET objects and so on directly in PHP, which is a good thing if you do this. And most of them focus on the speed, which brings me to the point is what is speed when we talk about web application?
Yeah.
So, main problem we have, this is where I live, by the way, we have that approximately 80% of the day mm-hmm. on the street. It's in Bangkok. And speeding up PHP doesn't mean that your application will feel fast to your end user. So mm-hmm. you are only fixing this wonderful little car is PHP. But if you sit down here in the middle.
It's actually right here. Yeah.
It doesn't change a lot, so, but that's why I'm still focusing now only on the car being stuck here.
Yeah.
So everything else about networking, caching, databases, and so on, infrastructure in general, and this is a totally different story, but we won't go down this path. That means speed is not necessarily scale. Mm-hmm. You can have the fastest language in the world, but your application won't scale anyway. Yeah. But this is, again, another clip. Maybe we can make something about that with the new features on Azure, how to scale. So it's about user experience if on the server side. So basically, most of the time is when I have a performance issue, mainly due to PHP itself, most of the time is I was bad. I mean, I did bad things or my implementation and so on. But still, I'm pretty sure your code as well.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
And I have to be more. So how can we optimize it? And before I go down to PHP 7, because it's still not out, it should be by the end of the year. My gut feeling say it will be more in January, February, but the goal is to get by end of the year. But still, we have possibilities right now with PHP 5.5 on 6, yep. even if it works with 5.4, and to optimize the portion of your code being slow. Like, let's say you work with finance and you really have to do hatch calculations and so on and so on, image processing, then you need custom filters not available in GD or something else, so you need to optimize something. So, but we have ways now, without changing your code, to speed up by a factor of 200% or 300% for a specific method. One of them is QB, the demo extension of demo before yep. to install it, which is available on every platform. So basically what QB does, I won't go in details for how the engine works in PHP one at a time. But basically here, you define your method saying that you make your implementation statically typed. Mm-hmm. So you define that A will be an integer 32-bit and B as well, and it return a 32-bit value. That allows the QB compiler to do some optimization.
Now, is this QB specific or is that PHP doc?
It uses the PHP doc syntax for easiness because everyone can use it.
Yep.
And because we don't have an IST parser or other stuff to custom tags and so on, it's easier just to be compatible on your source code, won't crash if QB is.
Well, no, that's perfect because yeah. you know, you don't want to have something that's QB specific and then have to use PHP Documenter to actually document your code.
Yeah.
It's nice to have everything.
And this one, if QB is not loaded, the code will simply work. Yeah. You don't care. If it's available, it will be faster, and that's it.
Yeah.
So basically, the compiler will parse that and do the conversion of this function. I repeat again, it's important. Only this function will be affected. So we'll be. So you have two mods. Yes, its own virtual machines to convert the PHP bytecodes to the VM and do the optimization he has to do to say it in a quick way. Mm-hmm. You have a more complex example, like a paint filter. Like you have an image and you like it, like a Van Gogh or a painting one. And so basically, you can define more variables. And you can even define expression and how they will be. And you have a lot of types like float or integer doubles and arrays and so on. So a basic function here. And this is, I remove the comments just to show.
Yeah.
Maybe too small.
Imagine some.
And here I made the performance comparison. The first one, which is basically with three different algorithms we implemented in PHP. And one is running on HHVM, the one is running on QB, and the other, the QB compiled means, interpret and compile is, the difference is, yes, QB has its own VM, so it can run inside the VM, but not be natively compiled, compiled in native way using just in time and so on. Mm-hmm. And the other mod is compile, which means it will be compiled to native code.
Is that pre-compiled to native code, or is it just in time compiled?
Just in time.
Okay, yeah. So just like HHVM.
Yeah. Almost, but it's
similar to HHVM.
It's only for the context of a function. You cannot compile a full class.
Yes.
So that's the main difference. But as you see, and for example, I take the red one, which is the example I took before. Mm-hmm. This is QB. This is HHVM. Mm-hmm. You see that the smaller is the faster.
Yeah.
So it's a time. Just say it's not amount. It's not a TPS amount of requests, but yeah. So as you can see, it's damn fast for a specific function. So imagine you have some complex calculation to do from a large data set and so on, and you do this speed up, you pretty much kill the bottleneck you may have in your code. Mm. So now we see why, for example, for the Spect one, was HHVM is much faster in this case, because as I said before, I try to pinpoint on that. It's only a function. The function calls are not optimized. That means it remains like PHP does it, and it's pretty slow. And in HHVM, basically the function call became almost like native calls. So HHVM doesn't have the cost of a PHP function call. That's why it's much faster.
Yeah.
Because this one is a recursive implementation, so it's calling itself and so on.
Yep.
So you have to slow down. But still, PHP is a bit slower now. It's a 5. I mean, if you go to 7, we get pretty much close to what we have in HHVM. Mm-hmm. So, but it's also a matter of what you test, what you use, which application, and so on. And my point is, like, PHP in general is really the bottleneck in most applications. Nobody, I mean, except by Facebook, but how many of us manage to have something like Facebook? So they have 100,000 of servers and so on. So indeed, 10% means, I don't know, 10,000 servers less if it's 10% faster. So yes, along the impact.
Yeah.
But in general, it's more IOs, database, and so on and so on. But still, we divide that by two and very close to this. And it's not even released now. We are working on improving that a lot. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's an easy step. Move your code directly, optimize the part, and you get direct performance without breaking your code. If it doesn't work, and you see doesn't make sense, you can simply remove the extension, you don't change your code. So easy step.
And well, that's the cool thing too, is if, I mean, everybody out there should be documenting their code. So the only difference between enabling QB and not having QB running is having the extension installed.
Yeah.
And there is one extra change though, right? Because the top of your documentation block, you actually have to have at QB engine.
And it's
that's one line of code, and it's completely ignored
it's
if you're not actually
using the
extension.
If you take at the syntax, it's a specific syntax, because in the PHP doc, the standard, you don't have the 8.32. You have integer and so on.
That is true.
So you may have two blocks, but still, it is still one single comment.
Yes.
Maybe a couple of lines.
And having int32, that doesn't affect PHP documenter.
No.
So.
So the next is, the first solution was really good to have a quick
method opinion. But if you like to implement a complex business logic and so on, you may need an extension. And it means you have to know C, or if you are a bit, let's say, more moody, you can go to C++, but I would say stay with C at the very least.
Yep.
But there is a solution called Zephyr, which basically it means they have a scripting language very close to PHP, but with static inting. Mm-hmm. They made a code generation, they convert it to C, C++, basically C, and compile it either with GCC on Linux or VC on Windows. And then you get a native extension you can load directly. So basically, this is a simple extension called filter in the namespace my library. Pretty easy to do to know what it does is everything outside the ASCII part will be dropped out.
Yep.
And this is return the filter but string you pass in. As you can see, you have static inting, so string. Yep. And the char, and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. So very similar to PHP, very small thing to change. Now, you run that to through the Zephyr tool, you get an extension, you enable it in PHP ini, you run your code just like it was a normal PHP extension.
Cool.
So basically it means you can see the logic here, you can implement very complex stuff and get an extension which will be very fast to do it.
Yes.
So, but because it'd be native code, just like if you have written a PHP extension on your own.
Well, and that's one of the things is there's so many methods that are internal to PHP that call down to native code. Mm-hmm. But one of the parts that's slow about it is oftentimes they get re-implemented in PHP instead of using the actual method. So this is actually giving you the best of both worlds. You get to write the PHP and implement the method specifically how you want it. It gets compiled down to an extension, you enable the extension, you have the goodness that you want.
Yeah, and you have the part of both sides. That's also what I like in HHVM for the extension part, because most of the extension for HHVM, you actually write it in PHP.
Yeah.
And you have some native code for the wrapping part, wrapping the C code if you use a library, or you have to do specific stuff. But most of the things are actually PHP code, which get compiled directly into HHVM. In a native code at a white straight away in the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's a cool thing. Okay, so alternative implementation, we have PHP 7 before. If you heard about PHP new generation, it's basically the same, HHVM.
I used to call it next generation because it made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, next generation, but it's a bit pretentious to compare that to.
That is true.
Hello. So HHVM, we talk about it. Wiki City is a very, very cool project from Anthony, mm-hmm. Which is actually compiler and parser and a couple of the things entirely written in PHP. Then you feed it with some PHP code and you get some native code out of it. Very, very cool stuff. And it is written in PHP, that means everyone can contribute. So go ahead. And if you are into compilers and optimization and so on, it's a very, very well-written and well-implemented project. Mm. And I think there is some potential here. And go ahead, it's on GitHub. The links are at the end.
Okay.
And it's a pretty good project.
And I'll make sure to copy all the links off the slide presentation and drop them in so people can just click on them instead of having to try and type them out.
Falanger talked about it before.
Yep.
I will go through that. And basically, there's a performance. Wiki City is not finished now, but it's not like HHVM or PHP or Falanger where you upload your script and they will be run. You have to run a command line, it will be compiled, and then you upload yours. Okay. But basically, this is the one that means as a baseline, they take Wiki City. Mm-hmm. And this is the lower number, it's faster. And Wiki City is one. So this is PHP 5.5. We are quite out of this is the script. Some of them are in bench PHP in the PHP source code, so you can mm-hmm. test it. This is HHVM. So still 8 times slower. IPC, it was PyPy implementation, mm-hmm. and QB. But still, as you can see, the optimization being done at this level using Wiki City is quite good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're pre-compiling the code. It's not just
it's a compiler.
Yeah.
It's
so it takes a lot of it because you're doing it well beforehand.
Doing pass,
as where HHVM.
You can do a multi-pass, analyze, and so on.
Yeah.
So it's a different story, but still, I mean, and it's entirely written in PHP, and it uses libgit, and you have a PHP extension for libgit, so they parse the PHP code and generate some intermediate code and use libjit to generate directly some binary code, some native code. So very, very cool stuff. And as you can see, many things are not yet implemented. You have to check on GitHub, and they keep working on it and so on, but keep an eye on it. It's a very cool thing to see.
Cool.
And as you can see, QB doesn't work with every single type we have, so it's not everything possible, but you have some good thing.
Yeah.
So HHVM, same thing. To explain what HHVM does is, the first version was you have to compile it on your client and then deploy the compiled script. Mm-hmm. And it was a kind of a pain, and you have to use the web server HHVM as bundled. Mm-hmm. But now what they did is they drop the web server, they drop the compilation part, and you just upload your script to the server. They use FastCGI, so you can use NGX, NGX Apache with ModCGI and so on.
Yeah.
And it does all the just-in-time compilation and profiling optimization at runtime. So you have a warm-up time, like it won't optimize and compile everything, but it will see, okay, this part is being called more often, whatever, and then do in real time to the compilation of the critical parts first. And this is for the PHP. I will let you go down. And this is all the resources we have for all the link. And this is the one talking about WikiCity.
Mm-hmm.
And you have also a very good documentation for Zephyrland. And because Zephyr, I didn't talk about it, but you can also have part of it in the kind of PHP script, and you can also call C library. So if you make a binding for and so on, so take a look at it. I think it could be a very good thing.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's about it for now, I suppose.
Back to me. Awesome. Well, I mean, tons of information today. So
it's a lot.
Everyone is very well informed now about their options in PHP, and I think that's great because I mean. It is really nice to see the community continue to drive forward against a new version. It's really interesting to see how there is an added level of competition now that there's specifications and you do go through an RFC process to actually go and get features implemented now. So that's really, really great to see because a lot of people for a long time were like, what's going on?
it's
a lot more visible today to see, you know, here's the features that we're implementing. If you do have ideas for the language, you can go out and propose the RFC,
mm-hmm.
Which is really great, and it goes through a voting system as well. I do suggest maybe if you don't subscribe to the internals list to like drop in every once in a while just to
so
get an
like
idea
the
as
idea
to what's going on.
Or, like if you work for big if you have big projects or even small and you say, we have a use case for this and this because if we have this feature, we could do this and this and so on. Or if you have a user group, like, yeah, one thing. One big thing in AFUP, A-F-U-P, which is a French user group or mm-hmm. French-speaking user group. So it's every country is speaking French.
Yep.
So Canada, but sadly, you have some cities in villages in the US speaking French. But what they do is they do an intern discussion within the group to have an opinion and to post it on internal in the name of the user group. And other projects like Hoha and sometimes Symfony or Drupal and so on tries to do it, or some leaders from this community try to do it. But basically, if you have a user group like the Seattle one or US or in Europe and so on, hey, do an intern discussion, decide and put it on an internal, say, okay, I am representing Seattle PHP user group. We have a discussion with all our members and with companies and so on. A little link to your user group webpage, so you know, we know who are we talking about. And say, we like this RFC, and we say a plus one or yes, or we don't like it because blah, blah, blah. That's the best way for us because the discussions too many times, is it's a kind of an ego kind of discussions. Like some people say, oh, our users don't need it, but they have a very narrow view on their customers, and I will say, oh, our users, yes, blah, blah, and I may say, we have more users because it's Azure customers and they're bigger, and blah, blah, but at the end of the day, nobody knows.
Yeah.
We don't have the data.
Yeah.
We have no data, we're just shooting in the dark. So the best way for us to actually know what you guys need it's you guys telling us what you need. So please go ahead, don't take too much time. So it's an easy step, and it will help everyone, I suppose, at the end.
I really like that idea, because there are plenty of user groups for PHP all around the world, and it's nice to be able to have, you know, the voice of your user group represented there. So definitely suggest going out there, taking this to your user group leadership team, and saying, hey, you know, this would be a really awesome activity to go through. Maybe part of your user group meeting is walking through an RFC and getting an opinion from the group yourself and committing that out there. Yeah. So that is really awesome. So excellent idea. Yeah. Great. Do you have anything else you want to mention?
So far not. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Don't forget you need an I1.
But thank you for it's not that wrinkly. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, because I know you have such a short amount of time here. So I'm really happy, and I hope everyone out there is happy that you had the opportunity
to
check in.
Always nice to come here. I mean, I like to talk about that. I could talk for hours about that, so it's not an issue.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone out there for joining us here on Webcams TV.